Given that Purim really is right around the corner, I thought it would be appropriate to discuss one of the essential mitzvahs of Purim, and that is the reading of a Megillas Esther. Now, although there are many components to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, we're going to focus on one important component, and that is the component of Pirsume Nisa, where we publicize the miracle of Purim through the reading of Megillas Esther. There are many Gemaras that really pertain and really relate to this factor, Pirsume Nisa, and among them is the Gemara in Source Number 1. Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Gimel Aleph, which reads in Source Number 1, it says, Tanan Amihachi, it cites a Braisa, it says, Kohanim Ba'avodasan, Kohanim are in the middle of their Avodah service in the Mishkan, or in the Beis HaMikdash, Leviim Beduchnan, and Leviim who are on their podium, part of singing as part of the Avodah service, the Yisrael B'Mahamadon, and the members of Klal Yisrael who are standing there as spectators, which is also functions as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara Paskins, Kulam Mivatlan Avodasim. They're all supposed to interrupt their Avodah service, Ubayim L'Shmo HaMikra Megillah. They're supposed to come and hear Mikra Megillah. So the question that Tosfos already, we'll see in Source Number 2 on the spot, raises the following question. Why do we interrupt the service in the Beis HaMikdash in order to hear Mikra Megillah? What is the basis of this halacha? So look at Source Number 2. Tosfos asks this question. It says, "V'im Tomar, the Yasu Avodasan Miyad. Why don't we allow these people to complete their Avodah? V'achar kach yikru haMegillah levadam. And then they're all, after they complete their Avodah, they'll be able to go home and read the Megillah by themselves. Why do we make them stop in the middle of their Avodah to hear the Megillah?" So Tosfos answers, "V'yesh Lomar, Titov likros imatzibur. We prefer them to interrupt their Avodah to be able to read the Megillah along with the Tzibur, Mishum Tehavi Tzvei Pirsume Nisa. Because by reading the Megillah along with the Tzibur, that will enhance the factor of Pirsume Nisa. So here we see that on account of this factor, this important factor of Pirsume Nisa, we grant precedence to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah over the important mitzvah of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So now that we've established that there's an important component to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of Pirsume Nisa, we now have to define how exactly does this factor, what role does this factor play within the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? We're going to see that there are two basic options. Option number one, that this factor of Pirsume Nisa functions as an additional component which remains external to the mitzvah itself of Mikra Megillah. According to this option, you have the mitzvah itself of Mikra Megillah, and then you have an additional side component of Pirsume Nisa, that the reading of that Megillah also accomplishes this side value of Pirsume Nisa. According to the second approach, this factor of Pirsume Nisa integrates into the mitzvah itself to dictate that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is defined as an act of being mefarsem in the nes of Purim. So before we explain which of these two options apply to the Pirsume Nisa of Megillah, I'd like to first take a step back and really highlight the significance of these two different approaches to Pirsume Nisa. We're going to do this by discussing the Pirsume Nisa associated with the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush on Shabbos. So the Gemara in Psachim, in Source Number 3, tells us that part of the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, a component of that mitzvah, is to basically reference it to being the farsim, the nis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Gemara reads in Source Number 3, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, the tzarach sheyaskir Yetzias Mitzrayim v'kiddush hayom. Part of the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush on Shabbos is to reference this and to be mefarsim the nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in fact, our current nusach of Kiddush on Friday night, we reference Yetzias Mitzrayim. Look at Source Number 4. This is just a snippet of our Kiddush on Friday night, when we say ki hu yom techilo l'mikra yekodesh, that Shabbos is one of the first of the holy days, zecher l'tzias mitzrayim, and it's remembrance to the nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So although we just proved from the Gemara that there's the factor of Pirsume Nisa applies to the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, we're going to see that in the next source, the Gemara on Shabbos gives off a completely different impression. The Gemara here in Shabbos is discussing an unfortunate situation where a person only has enough money to either buy candles for Neros Chanukah or to buy wine to be able to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. So the Gemara is asking, if you have limited resources, which mitzvah, of these two mitzvahs, do we grant precedence to? So look at source number 5. The Gemara asks this question. Bali Rava. Rava asks, Ner Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayom. If you were, right, have limited resources, you can only perform one of these mitzvahs, Neros Chanukah, or Kiddush on Shabbos, Mahu, which of these two mitzvahs is granted precedence?
So Kiddush Hayom refers to the Shabbos morning.
It seems to refer to Kiddush of the Yom of Shabbos. Well, let's assume for now that it's Friday night, but it doesn't really matter so much. It's Kiddush on Shabbos in general.
Uh-huh. Why do you say it doesn't matter? I mean, Kiddush on Friday night is the right to Kiddush.
Yes,
on Shabbos days.
Correct. I mean, so it happens that the Kiddush that we make, the only reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, is going to be the one on Friday night, so that's why I'm saying it like that, and you'll see in a second why.
Okay.
But that's a good question. For now, it seems like it shouldn't matter. But either way, so the Gemara is presenting this question in terms of which of these mitzvahs do we grant precedence, Neros Chanukah or Kiddush on Shabbos. And the Gemara analyzes it as follows. Do you say Kiddush Hayom Adif Ditadir? Do we favor the mitzvah of Kiddush because it is more common, based on the rule of Tadir, Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodim, that we generally grant precedence to mitzvahs which are more common than mitzvahs which are less common? And obviously, Shabbos comes around every single week, and therefore more common than Eros Chanukah, which only takes place for 8 days throughout the year. So do you say that we grant precedence to Kiddush on Shabbos? O Dimon, this is our focus. Ner Chanukah Adif, we favor Neros Chanukah. Why? Mishum Pirsume Nisa. Because of the factor of Pirsume Nisa. And just to finish before we start analyzing, Ambasar Di Ibai Hadar Pashta, after Rava presented this question, he answered it himself and said, we take the second option. Ner Chanukah Adif, we favor the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah because Mishum Pirsume Nisa. So here the obvious question has to be raised is that we just established before that the factor of Pirsume Nisa also applies to Kiddush on Shabbos. So why is the Gemara here say that we grant precedence to Neros Chanukah over Kiddush because of the factor of Pirsume Nisa, which only applies to Neros Chanukah? Don't we know that Pirsume Nisa also applies to Kiddush on Shabbos?
The mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim necessarily have to be Pirsume Nisa? I mean, Gemara, I don't know. You just quoted one line of the Gemara, I don't know. Is that the reason that we have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim is Mishum Pirsume Nisa?
Yeah, I think the reason is for that, but I think you're hitting on an interesting point in terms of, because it's only a short reference to it, the question is what type of Pirsume Nisa it is. But I think for now, it's safe that the Achorim assume that this is a requirement to be Mefarsim, the Nis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why we're referencing it.
Because this is in public.
What?
Ner Chanukah is in public and Shabbat is in private, in your home. No one sits beside your family or the one who should do it Kiddush. And Ner Chanukah, everyone sits. Uh-huh. So
you're suggesting that maybe the Pirsume Nisa is stronger in the context of
Ner
Chanukah because it's more of a public display.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent approach. We're gonna present another approach, but that's a very good one. So the Rav, in order to answer this question, and he assumes in his question that the Zefer is because of Pirsume Nisa, he answers the question by explaining there are two types of Pirsume Nisa, like we just developed before. One type of Pirsume Nisa is where the factor of Pirsume Nisa is an additional component and it remains external to the mitzvah itself. The other type of Pirsume Nisa is where the factor of Pirsume Nisa integrates into the mitzvah itself to dictate that the mitzvah itself is defined as an act of being mefarsim the nes. The Rav goes on to explain that therefore, when the Gemara references the factor Pirsume Nisa to grant precedence to the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah over the mitzvah of Kiddush Hayom, the Gemara is not saying that this precedence is because the factor Pirsume Nisa only applies to Neros Chanukah and doesn't apply to Kiddush on Shabbos, because we see that's not true. There is a Pirsume Nisa component also in Kiddush on Shabbos. So rather, what is it saying? It's rather saying that the factor of Pirsume Nisa plays more of a central role in the context of Neros Chanukah than it does in the context of Kiddush on Shabbos. In that, in the context, in the Pirsume Nisa of Neros Chanukah, the factor of Pirsume Nisa integrates into the mitzvah itself to dictate that the act of lighting the Chanukah candles is an act of being mefarsim the nes to the public. While, in contrast, the factor of Pirsume Nisa in the context of Kiddush on Shabbos remains external to the mitzvah itself, as seen from the fact that generally almost the entire Kiddush is focused on the theme of Shabbos, And there's a side reference to the factor of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that remains an external factor. So that is why the Pursum Anisa is quoted in the Gemara to favor the Pursum Anisa of Neiros Chanukah over the Pursum Anisa in the context of Kiddush on Shabbos. So here we see that these two options regarding the nature and the parameters of Pursum Anisa, whether it integrates into the mitzvah itself, can have concrete halachic ramifications. But now getting back to our topic at hand, Mikra Megillah. So the Rav continues in this piece to say that the factor of Pursum Anisa in the context of Mikra Megillah, like the Pursum Anisa in the context of Neiros Chanukah, integrates into the mitzvah itself to dictate that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is defined as an act of being mefarsem the nes of Purim. And one of the Rav's proofs to this is the fact that we recite the unique bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu by Mimahem Azman Hazeh, which is a unique bracha dedicated to the commemoration of the Nisim, of the respective Nisim of both the holidays of Chanukah and Purim. So the fact that we make this bracha in conjunction with the mitzvos of Neiros Chanukah and of Mikra Megillah itself, that indicates that these mitzvos themselves are defined as acts of being mefarsim their respective nisim. So if you look at the Rav in source number 6, in the Igros HaGrid, he spells this out. He says, Hari b'Neiros Chanukah b'Mikra Megillah, both in the context of Neiros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah, Niskana bracha b'fnei atzmo of Sha'asa Nisim, they have this unique bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, which tells us, which indicates, Hare dahach dina shall pirsum hanes, which indicates that this factor of being mefarsim the nes through these mitzvos, hukiyam be'etzem ha'chetza shalom mitzvah, it's a little heavy language, is basically a way of saying that it integrates into the mitzvah itself, and therefore b'niskana bracha alav. And that's why you have this unique bracha pertaining to the pirsum hanes in respect to these mitzvos themselves. So now that we've proved that this factor of Pursume Nisa in the context of Mikra Megillah integrates into the mitzvah itself to dictate that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is an act of being mefarsim the nes, we now have to define what exactly are the parameters of this Pursume Nisa. In other words, how is this obligation to be mefarsim the nes of Purim through the Megillah manifested? And we're going to see that there are two options in this regard, two options regarding this question. The first option is that the Pursume Nisa of Mikra Megillah is defined in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah, the obligation to read the Megillah. According to this option, the obligation of Pursume Nisa is an active publicizing of the Nes of Chanukah through presenting the symbol of the Nes to other people through the reading of the Megillah. The other option is that the Pirsum Anisa of Megillah is defined not in terms of the Kriya, the reading, but rather in terms of the Shmiyas HaMegillah, in terms of hearing Megillas Esther. According to this approach, the publicizing of the Nes is done in a passive way of exposing oneself to the symbol of the Nes by hearing the Megillas Esther. So before we analyze the significance of these two approaches, or whether the parameters of the Pursume Nisa is in terms of Kriya or in terms of Shmiya, let us first document both of these approaches in the Mefarshim. So one way to isolate this factor of Pursume Nisa is by focusing on the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah that is specifically incumbent upon women. It's good we have all women.
Represent.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, and the reason why we're focusing specifically on the mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, that pertains to women, because the Gemara tells us that the reason why women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah aseh, shazman grama, which is a positive time-bound mitzvah for which generally women are exempted, right, from such type of mitzvahs, women are generally exempted. The reason why women are included in this mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is because they too were included in the nes of Purim. If you look at source number 9, the Gemara tells us, the Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Nashim Chayavos the Mikra Megillah, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, She'af hein hayu ba'oso ha'nes, because they too were included in the Nes of Purim. And the Mefarshim assume that because their inclusion in the mitzvah is because of their in, is because of their inclusion in the nes itself, that they're that they are included in the mitzvah only regarding the component of persumei nisa, the component of the mitzvah which is dedicated towards being mefarsim this nes that they were included in. And therefore, when we analyze the parameters of that mitzvah, of their specific, the mitzvah specifically of women, that will shed light on the parameters of persumei nisa itself. So just before we get into documenting this thing, the one thing I forgot to mention is that these two versions of whether the mitzvah is formulated, the persumei nisa is formulated in terms of the active kriya, or in terms of the passive shmiya, have parallels in the context of the persumei nisa in the context of Neros Chanukah. In the sense that the first version, that the persumei nisa is in terms of the kriya, basically where you actively present the symbol of the nes to other people, is parallel to the persumei nisa of lighting Chanukah candles, where you also perform this action where you present the symbol of the nes to other people. And the other option, that the persumei nisa is about the passive shmiya, basically where you basically expose yourself to the symbol in a more passive way, that is parallel to the special and unique persumei nisa in the context of Neros Chanukah, of someone who does not light themselves, but rather sees the candles of others. If you look at source number 7, the Gemara tells us that even someone who does not light, who does not have the capacity to light their own Chanukah candles, and only is able to look at other people's Chanukah candles, they too recite a bracha. Look at source number 7, the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiya Amar, HaRava Ner Shel Chanukah, a person who sees the Neros Chanukah of others and is not able to light himself, Tzarech Lavar, he too makes a bracha. And what are these brachas that he makes? Rashi in the next source tells us that HaRava Mevarach Shtayim, someone who sees the Chanukah candles of others, recites two brachas. Number one, the bracha of She'asa Nisim. Number two, She'achyano, if it's the first night. And the key is that the fact that we allow such a person who is passively exposing himself to the symbol of the symbol of the nes, even though he's not actively presenting that symbol to other people, the fact that he too makes a she'asa nisim, that highlights this second approach, which says that, that exposing yourself in a passive way to the symbol of the miracle is also a form of persumei nisa. So you have
Do we actually ask him like this?
Right, nowadays we don't do this, there are different reasons for this, but in the times of the Gemara, this was a full-fledged halacha. That if you were,
that's why I remember not exactly parallel. Meaning, the person who sees Ner Chanukah, he's often not making the bracha b'hadli, so he's not doing the mitzvah. He's simply making the bracha
al shasa
nisim. If you let's say somebody comes to read the Megillah for you, right? I think if you're the one listening, I think you can still make the bracha as well while that person is reading. No.
Correct. I mean, right now we're focusing on really how is the mitzvah fundamentally formulated, because even if...
No, I understand, but with Ner Chanukah, you're definitely not performing the mitzvah.
Correct.
Whereas with Mikra Megillah, even being passive, you are performing the mitzvah, right?
I mean, I think you're hitting on, are you saying the following, that in the context of Neros Chanukah, there, that form of persumei nisa is really the b'dieved form. Is only the secondary form.
Well, the passivity there is actually...
It's only when you couldn't do the act.
It's not a kiman hadlaka, it's a kiman...
Correct, but we're focusing now from the perspective of persumei nisa, is what I'm trying to highlight. From the fact that he doesn't make a hadlaka near Shulchanaka, because he's not.
Right.
But from the perspective of persumei nisa, the fact that in a situation where a person can't light, and he's only passively seeing the symbol of others, the fact that we tell him also to make a she'asa nisim avasein, which that highlights that there is a form of persumei nisa even in this passive form, which is an important, which is a fascinating idea. We're going to analyze that in a second. So now, just to document these two approaches about whether the mitzvah of persumei nisa in the context of Megillah is focused on the kriya, the active kriya, or on the passive shmiya, as we pointed out, the way we're going to do this is by analyzing the parameters of the mitzvah of Megillah for women, which will directly highlight the parameters of persumei nisa. So we're going to see in source number 10, Tosfos brings two opinions regarding the parameters of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah for women. According to the first approach, the first opinion mentioned in Tosfos, women are chayiv in kriyas ha-Megillah just like men are. And therefore, a woman would be able to be motzi, be able to read Megillah on behalf of a man because they have the same chayiv. They're both chayiv in kriyas ha-Megillah. And according to the setup that we just set up before, the equation between Pirsume Nisa and the mitzvah, Mikra Megillah of women, what would come out from this first opinion is that this first opinion defines the fact that Pirsume Nisa in terms of the active kriyas ha-Megillah. So just to see this inside, the first opinion, first half of source number 10, Toso says, according to the Gemara at first, Nashim Chayavos Pemikra Megillah. The Gemara formulates it in that they're chayav in mikra, literally the reading of Megillah. So Tosis points it infers from this lashon. Mikan mashma, this language implies, shehanashim motzios es achirim idei chavasim, that they can be motzi men in their chayav because they're both chayav in mikra Megillah, in the reading of Megillah. Midelo ka'amar, from the fact that the Gemara didn't formulate their chayav, their obligation, as lishmoa mikra Megillah. The fact that it didn't say that they're only chayav to listen to the Megillah, but it said they're chayav to read the Megillah, that implies, according to the first opinion of Tosfos, that their chayav is also to read the Megillah, just like the chayav of men. According to the second opinion in Tosfos, women are only chayav in shmias ha-Megillah, only to hear the Megillah, in contrast to the chayav of men, which is also to read the Megillah. So according to this second opinion, women would not be able to be motzi men in the Megillah because they have different types of chiyuvim. Men are chayiv also in the kriya, while the women are only chayiv in the shmiya. And the equation that we mentioned before would dictate that according to this second opinion defines the Pirsume Nisa in the context of Megillah in terms of the passive shmiyas ha-Megillah, which is the key for us right now. Just to see this inside, the second half, Pasuk Abahad, which is Baal HaLachos Gadolos, which is a prominent Rishon, De Isha Motzia Mina Avalo Anashim. That an Isha can be Motzia other women, because they're both at the same level of Chiyav, Avalo Anashim. But it can't be Motzia other men. Why? Tahakol Chayavim B'Shmiyah. Because the following people are only Chayav in terms of the Shmiyas HaMegillah. Avadim Nashim Uketana. So the key, according to the second opinion in Tosos, women are only chayav in Shmiyas HaMegillah, which we just pointed out, dictates that the parameters of Pirsume Nisa of Mikra Megillah is in terms of the passive Shmiyas HaMegillah. So now that we've established and we've basically documented these two approaches, whether the Pirsume Nisa of Mikra Megillah is defined in terms of the active Kriyas HaMegillah or in terms of the passive Shmiyas HaMegillah, I'd like to now take a step back and analyze these two opinions. The first approach, which defines the Pirsume Nisa in terms of the active Kriyas HaMegillah, seems quite intuitive. If I were to ask you, how would you formulate the mitzvah to be Mefarse Menis? Intuitively, you would say the most obvious way to do it is to perform an action which publicizes and basically presents that symbol of the Nis to other people, which in this case would be in the form of Kriya. So that makes a lot of sense. But the question that we have to ask is on the second approach. Why would the second approach define the Pirsume Nisa in terms of this passive form of Shmiyas HaMegillah? And just to highlight this question, although we saw that this parallel form of passive Pirsume Nisa in the context of Neros Chanukah, in the context of Neros Chanukah, the only time a person performs Pirsume Nisa in the passive form of just looking at other people's candles is only when they can't do the primary form, the primary active form of being mefarsim themselves by performing the action of lighting the candles themselves. So there it's clear that the primary form of Pirsume Nisa is the active form, while the passive form is only the secondary form. So the question is, why in the context of Mikra Megillah, according to the second opinion, do we say that the primary form of being mefarsim the Nis is through this passive form of Shmiyas HaMegillah? So it's possible to suggest that this unique formulation of the Pirsum HaNes through this passive listening relates to Purim's prevalent theme of Hashkachas Hashem, of divine providence, which is behind the scenes at all times. And according to the Ramban's Pirush Al HaTorah, he says that divine protection, Hashkacha, is only assured to Klal Yisrael as a collective tzibur, but not to each individual. If you look at source number 11, Ramban says this. He says, "Ki yediyas Hashem, God's knowledge, Shehi, which is referring to Hashkachaso Ba'olam HaShafo, which refers to his divine providence over this world, he Lishmor HaKlalim is really primarily focused, uniquely focused on the Klal, in terms of Klal Yisrael as a whole, and not on each individual. As such, if a person wanted to ensure himself divine protection, a person would have to attach himself to the tzibur, to tap into that unique hashkacha which pertains to the klal. It is therefore possible that halacha formulates the presume nisa of Megillah in terms of passively listening to the Megillah alongside the tzibur to encourage a person to attach himself to the tzibur, specifically in the context of Purim, where we have this overwhelming focus on hashkacha at large. Just to highlight that this connection between hashkacha, divine providence, and tzibur is also highlighted by the following psukim in the Megillas Esther itself. Look at source number 12. This is the exchange between Mordechai and Esther, a famous exchange between Mordechai and Esther after Mordechai finds out about Haman's decree. And this is Mordechai sends the following message to Esther. He says, Ki im hacharish tacharishi ba'es hazos, even if you as an individual remain silent by not doing anything at this very important point, Rebach v'hatzala ya'amod li'yehudim mimakom acher, relief and rescue will arise for the klal from another place. Basically, hashkacha will ensure that the klal of Klal Yisrael will be saved. V'at u'beis avich tobedu, you as an individual and your individual house might perish, but the klal will be saved, hashkacha will save the tzibur. U'mi yodea im la'is kazos higata l'machos, maybe it's for this specific moment that you really rose to the ranks to become the queen. And then after internalizing this message from Mordechai, internalizing this idea of the special role of hashkacha regarding the tzibur at large, Esther formulates the following response. V'tomer Esther l'hashiv l'Mordechai, she sends the message back and basically says, if you're right, if the focus of the hashkacha will be on referring to the tzibur, then leich kenos as kol ha-yehudim, let the tzibur come together as a whole, and imsa'im b'shushan, everyone who's in the capital, the tzimu alai, ba'al tochlu ba'al tishlu sholshes yamim, as the tzibur come together, pray and fast on my behalf so we can try to rectify the situation. So here we thus see that in the Megillah itself you have the same connection of this theme between the hashkacha and the hashkacha of specifically of Klal Yisrael. Just the last topic we're going to discuss before we conclude is the issue of whether this factor, presume nisa, requires the Megillah to be specifically read in a public setting, or it could also be read in a more private setting. We're going to see if this is going to connect to some of the things we've been discussing. Again, we're going to see there are two approaches to this issue. The first approach says, quite naturally, that the factor of presume nisa, to publicize the miracle, requires for a Megillah to be read in a public setting in order to fully publicize the miracle, and therefore have to be read with a minyan. You look at source number 13, this is the position of the Ramban in his Sefer Muhammad Sashem. Ramban writes, Megillah, or the mitzvah of Megillah, kishim shehat tzibur chayev, just like the entire tzibur is obligated in the mitzvah, kach kol yachid v'yachid chayev, so too the chiyev, the obligation, rests on every individual. And therefore, v'yachid shelo kara, if an individual missed minyan and didn't hear Megillah leining, tzarech yud mishum prisum enisa, that individual can't just lane it himself in his own home, he has to grab 9 other people, as we'll see, bein sheyatzu hein o shelo yatzu, even if those other 9 people already heard the Megillah. In order for this individual to be yotze his chiyev of mikra Megillah, he has to read it in the context of a minyan in a public setting. Korin v'yud, he has to read it in a minyan, l'hotzi ha-yachid, in order for this yachid, for this individual to be yotze his mitzvah.
10 men needs?
Yeah, for the, yeah. Women are also chayev, but in terms of tzibur, it would be 10 men. And this, I think, works out very well, very nice as a thing we've been developing. But this concept that we require a yachid to attach himself to a tzibur in order to be yotze his chiyav of mikra Megillah works very well with this theme that we're developing, that because of the emphasis on this factor of hashkacha and the unique connection between hashkacha and the tzibur and the importance of an individual to attach themselves to the tzibur, it's only appropriate for us to require a yachid, an individual, to attach himself to a tzibur in order to be yotzei his mitzvah. But the second, more novel approach to Pursum Anisa is that you can accomplish Pursum Anisa even to have an individual reading it by himself in his own home. This position is accepted by Rashi in our last source, in source number 14. Rashi says, "Mitoch shehi chova bo bayom al kol yachad v'yachad." We're talking about the reading of Megillah on the day of Purim itself. Since that chiyuv, that obligation, rests upon every individual of Klal Yisrael, therefore, korin osa afilo v'yachad. Even an individual can read it alone. Why? The hakol korin bo, because when every individual alone reads it himself, the ikka pirsum hanis, through the aggregate of every individual of Klal Yisrael reading it, even if they read it alone, the aggregate of all those individuals reading the Megillah will result in a pirsum hanis. So the last question that we have to ask is, if we're celebrating, if we're being mefarsim the nes of Purim, which itself related to the to Klal Yisrael on a tzibur level, so why, according to this approach of Rashi, do we see this formulation of Pursume Niso that we allow an individual to do it by himself, not in the context of the tzibur? What is that idea? So it's possible to suggest that this formulation is conveying the following important theme. It is very important for an individual to focus on this concept of Hashkacha and see how that factor of Hashkacha relates to his individual life. And we therefore allow an individual to read the Megillah in the confines of his own home, in his own privacy, to really facilitate this more private introspection and to see how he views the Hashkacha relating to his individual life. So just to summarize the Shir, we first established that there is an important component to Mikra Megillah of Pursum Anisa. We then proved that that factor Pursum Anisa integrates into the mitzvah itself of Mikra Megillah to dictate that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is defined as an act of being mefarsim the nes. We then discuss the two options in terms of whether that pirsum hanes, which is integrated into the mitzvah, is defined in terms of a kriyas hamagillah, in terms of the active reading of the Megillah, or in terms of the more passive shmiyas hamagillah, hearing the Megillah. And then we discuss the last issue of whether the reading of the Megillah, this pirsum hanisa, requires a public setting, or whether it can also be done in an individual setting. And along the way, we developed two values pertaining to this general theme of Hashkacha on Purim. Number one, the importance of an individual to really attach themselves to the Tzibur, to tap into that unique Hashkacha, which is limited to the Tzibur. And number two, at the same time that we encourage a Yachid to attach himself to the Tzibur, we also tell him that at the same time, it's important for you to sometimes take a step back and to think about how Hashkacha affects you as an individual in your own personal life.
Right.
Any questions?